just whether you think you're safe, but do you feel safe? And I believe one of the great things that God gives us in a relationship with Him is the assurance that with Him, we truly are safe. Safe in a way that nothing else can provide. Do you feel safer now that the leaders of North and South Korea have had a meeting and shaken hands and given us some strange smiles? Do you feel safer now? If so, how long do you think that feeling of safety will last? How much of the day, typically, do you feel safe? On a typical day, everyone wants to feel safe. No one would deny that. Not just to be safe, but to feel safe. I don't know about you, but the more I hear on the news, the less safe I feel.
True.
I got a Kindle given to me. Let's go back one. Oh, it's dotting around. Okay. I got a Kindle for my 50th birthday last week. I wish. My children clubbed together and bought me a Kindle. And I love my Kindle. And one of the things that happens when you get a Kindle is you can get some free subscriptions for a while to things. So I hadn't been reading newspapers for a while, and they were offering a month free. I think it was a whole month free of daily newspapers. And I did the Times for a month. I did the Guardian for a month. I did the Independent for a month. I did even the Daily Mail for a month. No, for my sins. I apologize. But there you go. But it was free. Express wasn't free. So all the free ones, I did them for a month. And it suddenly hit me. After I'd been doing this for a month, although they're very different in their political standings, all of them, every day, had a scare story about education. Every day they had a scare story about health. Every day they had a scare story about business and finance. Every day they had a scare story about crime. And every day there was an article warning you that you might be the worst parent in the world. These five things were in every newspaper every day. After my 5 months then of trial of newspapers ended, I was quite glad. Because I was getting a bit depressed hearing about all these things that were going to kill me or ruin me. And it's the message that we're getting from the media. And I'm not going to blame the media as such, because I think there's a reason why we read this stuff. But the message we're getting from so many sources is you are not safe. And we listen to it. You are not safe, and the people you love are not safe. Recent headlines on the BBC website about health: trust recalls 2,500 patients over treatment fears. High carb diet may hasten menopause, apparently. NHS caused my cancer, which is an interesting one. That was just recently on the website. Education failings. Oh, let's come to that in a minute. Okay, so
that's not education failings.
There it was it? Okay, education failings. Children's social services in Wales near crisis. Teacher banned for watching porn at a school. And of course, these things, a lot of these things that are bad, and that's okay to notice them. It's just the message that's coming all the time. What about financial problems? So here we have, let me show you. Here is my father and my mother on their wedding day 60 years ago in July. And you will notice on this side, my mother's family, her mother, her father, and her cousin, who was the bridesmaid, a flower girl. And on this side, my father's best man, Barry, and his mother. You will notice an absence on this side. His father is not there. That's because his father died when my father was only 3 years old. And he was brought up by his mother. His mother was an heroic woman. She had no education, no training of any kind. She was left destitute at a time in the 30s when it was a recession and there was not a great deal of benefits system or anything like that. She scraped together money and worked really, really hard. And I respect her. She's passed on now, but I respect her so very, very much. But that had an effect on my father. That financial insecurity for him was a big deal. So when he got married, the first thing he did was he bought a life insurance policy. because he didn't want my mother to have to grow up without that safety net. And then when I came along, he got another life insurance policy, just so there'd be a bit more money now that I was there. When my sister came along, he got another life insurance policy, just in case. And when he got a pay rise, rather than buy a nicer car or something, he would get another life insurance policy. And I actually don't know how many he got in the end, but there were so many that at one point in the 70s, when the interest rates were really high, the cost of the life insurance policies was such, we almost lost the mortgage on the house. And I don't say that to ridicule my father. I think it's a wonderful thing that he was doing to try and make sure that my mother and myself and my sister were well looked after. But it just shows you that when we have a negative experience, a difficult experience, and feel unsafe, it colours and shapes the way that we see the world as a dangerous place. And indeed, in many ways, of course, it is. My father, even when he became a headmaster, drove a car so old everybody thought it couldn't possibly be his. And when he wore his weekend clothes, they were so threadbare and tatty, people thought he was the gardener rather than a headmaster. But he did that for our sake. What a wonderful thing. What about crime? Your data is not safe, is the message. I changed all my passwords, most of them yesterday, because of the stuff that happened with Twitter recently. Are we safe? I've been inundated with organizations online asking me to revalidate or reconfirm that I want messages from them. You've all been getting them, right? Okay, and that's fine, but so much of it coming at me all the time, I don't feel safe. What about knife crime? Knife crime is astonishing, the amount of it. 37,000 knife offences in the UK, England and Wales, I should say, in 2017. And I heard someone interviewed on the radio, and I can't verify it precisely, but they said, a policeman said, that they were collecting, in London, 1 ton of knives a month.
Wow.
Either handed in on an amnesty or confiscated. 1 ton a month.
Wow.
Makes you wonder how much is out there. And I know this is a real challenge, especially for our younger people.
Mm.
Teenagers and young people, sometimes you get isolated and on your own in a dark place late at night. Should you carry a knife? And of course we shouldn't, but the temptation to take matters into our own hands because we know other people around here are carrying knives must be very, very strong. Do we live in a safe world? I think not. And after all this, I did this research, I looked up my own crime rating. Not personally my crime rating, the area in which I live. And there's a website, you can look up how likely are you to be, let me see, my risk of violence is 1.5%, which is 2.2% lower than the England average. So I feel really safe now, because it's less than the average. Robbery and theft, I'm lower where I am. Lower for all of them, except for vehicle-related theft. My area, 4.1%, as opposed to the national average of 3%. So I've got to watch out for my car, right? Make sure it's locked, make sure the alarm is working. And all that, I mean, if you want to, you can go to that website and look at your own crime area rating. It might reassure you, it might scare you. But wherever we live, the possibility of crime is there. We're never truly, completely safe. And then last of all, and perhaps for many of us here, the most significant issue for us is parenting.
Yeah.
Our children. Are they safe or are they not? And the temptation is to become what they call a helicopter parent. Hovering over your child all the time, trying to make sure they don't graze a knee or get hurt in any way. On constant watch, trying to ensure they don't get hurt. I have news for you parents. As someone who has been through this, that as much as you may try, your children will experience pain, and much of that pain is actually good for them.
Amen.
I know not all of it is, but that's how we mature, and experiencing some pain is part of the way that God helps us to understand our need for Him, more than trying to be just protect ourselves from all the evil around us. We're never going to be completely safe under our own efforts. So why does fear work as a marketing ploy? Well, because we know life isn't safe, right? We know. We crave safety, but safety is an illusion in this world. Everything could change in an instant.
Yeah.
I've got a kind of thought for us. This may not be terribly cheery, but the truth is, you can be as safe as you can be in this life and be as careful as you can be, but ultimately you're going to encounter a thing called death. And there's no way you can protect yourself ultimately from death. That final, if you like, event in your life is the least safe event you're going to experience, and we are all going to experience it. The question is not whether we're going to experience it, but whether we're going to be ready to experience it. Not are we going to be safe in this life, are we protected and safe, ready for the next life? Is perhaps a better question. I think God designed the world to be safe. Originally, he designed this world to be a safe place, a playground, a place of pleasure, not just, momentary pleasure, but a place that delights the senses, a place that is beautiful. And with the sunshine out at the moment, and if you go outside and into the fields and the countryside, it's a beautiful place, isn't it? That's how I think God designed this place to be originally. So God designed the world to be safe. It's just that our behavior has made it unsafe. At least for now. But the new earth, Chris Bertels talked a bit about this in his recent series on Friday nights, the new earth will be safe. We will be there if we are with God and if we understand how to become part of his safe zone. He has a safe zone for us. There are two things that come out of this psalm for me in Psalm 100. I'm focused here particularly on verse 3. The whole psalm is a celebration of God and his nature. But Psalm 100 and verse 3 says this bit here. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. And we are his. We are his people. The sheep of his pasture. His pasture. A safe pasture. Two things I'd like to share with us today. First of all, you can trust God for your safety because he made you. You can trust him for your safety ultimately because he made you. He says that we belong to him, and we do. Our very existence belongs or depends upon God, doesn't it? I mean, what are the other alternatives? You caused yourself? I don't think you did. Someone else caused you? Well, yeah, but who caused that person? I mean, it goes back to God, right? God caused us. God brought us into being. We belong to him. When you know who you belong to, you feel safe. Because you are safe, at least as long as it's God.
Right.
Because God has all the power necessary. We'll talk more about that in a minute. To protect us with the things that are most important. God, if he made us, has our best interests at heart. He really cares about you more than you even care about yourself. That's why we can trust him. God has our best interests at heart. He didn't create us as some kind of sick joke to torture us in this world and then forget us and cast us off. He has a much better plan.
Amen.
For our lives. And we've got our own ideas about how to be safe, but I would submit that we need to find God's ways for us to be safe.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I occasionally hid things from my parents. When I was growing up, I wasn't a purely honest child. And the thing that happened was, now and again when you're a kid, you know, these crazes come along, right? And these crazes are so captivating to a child that you'll do anything to join in or acquire this thing. And when I was a young child, about probably 10, yeah, I've been about 10, the craze at the time was clackers.
Yeah.
You remember clackers? One or two of us of that period. I won't say which decade, but it was clackers. I have a little video. Let's see if this will play the sound. Okay, here is a chap who has found a pair of some clackers, and he's very excited about it. All right, we'll go back and see if we can get sound. Let's try. Okay, should we try again? No, we need another setting to change. I mean, he's got those off eBay or some memorabilia vintage kind of site. You remember these, Michelle? Did you have them in the States? Oh, you missed out. You missed out. We'll go back to it in a sec. I got this pair. My parents said, no clackers. You're not getting a pair of clackers. And the reason, we figured this out, I'll tell you. The reason was, there was a program on the television at the time called Nationwide.
Yes.
Remember that? It was the equivalent of The One Show, maybe, something rather like that. Okay. And on this show, they had some people showing how dangerous clackers was, that when you did this thing, they shattered. And small pieces of plastic would embed themselves into children's eyes. And you would be blinded. And of course, my parents saw this advert, and like, right, that's it, no, or this program, no clackers for Malcolm. Except that I was determined to have some clackers, because all my friends at school had clackers. So I got a pair of clackers, rather like these. Let's see, are we on now? Not quite. We're almost there. I got this pair of clackers. I was so excited. I didn't let my parents know. Here's the thing about when you're a child. You don't always think straight. I hid them in the drawer with my underwear in. Which was a drawer that my mother used to fill up quite regularly. So what do you think happened? They found my clackers.
You got sprung.
The guy got sprung. They confiscated them and I was devastated, right? How are we doing? There we go. Oh, it was there. There we go.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, honestly, that's it. That's really all you can do with clackers. But it was so important to me. I thought, it's got to be safe because it's cool. It's got to be safe because now I'm part of the in crowd at school. Because it wasn't safe at all. It actually was quite dangerous. Sometimes God knows better than us. Sometimes our parents certainly know better than us. If we should trust God for our safety. He made us. He knows how we function. He knows what's best for us. Jesus tells us this in John 10. He says, I am the gate. He is the great shepherd. He is the one who provides the protection that we all need. That's who he is. He is our wonderful shepherd, leading us into the right pasture. Psalm 23 talks about the same idea. And here, the sheep of his pasture. We're safe with that shepherd. The wonderful thing about Jesus is that he takes responsibility for our personal safety spiritually, as long as we cooperate with him. What an amazing shepherd we have. The second reason why we should trust God for our safety is because he has the resources that we need. He has the resources that you need to feel safe. Now, this world is not safe, as we talked about. But it is possible to go through this life with the peace and the joy of the Holy Spirit, such that we feel disturbed from time to time, but we're not shaken to the core. Like the Bible says, that the kingdom may be, some things are shaken, but the kingdom remains. Same thing for us. If you're a Christian, you have the deposit of the Holy Spirit, which means you are safe for your inheritance. It's Jesus that takes us there because of what he has done. God loves us even when we are unlovable. Mm. I'm not going to ask you to fess up, but have you ever done anything that really makes you hard to love? I mean, I have. And God loves you and I even though we are often unlovable. And how do we know this? It's because of the cross. It's because of the nature of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, right? When I was a music student, I played the French horn. One rather like that. I loved my French horn. Nice, shiny instrument, made a beautiful sound. I loved this thing. But I was dating a girl called Penny, who some of you know. And I wanted Penny to marry me. The thing is, I didn't have an engagement ring, and I didn't have any money for an engagement ring. I had one possession of significant value. Only one. It was my French horn. My shiny French horn. It made a lovely sound. So I sold my French horn for £200.
Wow.
A lot of money in 1984. And I went to the jewellery quarter in London. What's it called? Tanger. Went to a place and I bought a ring. And I gave it to Penny. And she said yes.
Yes!
30-something years ago now. And it was part... I did it because I wanted to. I was in love. and I still am. But I wanted to demonstrate that love somehow. And that was the only way I could think of demonstrating to her some kind of sacrifice on my part. Then we look at what has God done for us. And we wonder whether he'll keep us safe in the future. We wonder if he'll take us to heaven. We worry about our salvation unnecessarily because of the price he's paid. It's not a French horn. It's the cross. It's the death of his son. How astonishing that he would pay that price just so that we could be safe with him. We have a wonderful God in his pasture. He has love for us and he has power. God has power that we don't understand.
Yeah.
He has power to raise the dead. The cross was real, but so is the empty tomb. Last week, Penny and I were in this spot. Is Penny in the picture? Oh, there she is in a brown coat. We are in this spot, which is in Gloucestershire, on a hill overlooking a town called Wootton-under-Edge. And we were there because Penny's family, her mother and father's families, both grew up there in the 40s. And one of her aunts, Aunt Margaret, died at Christmas, sadly. She died, she was in Australia, so they had a funeral, and then they cremated her, and then her husband and her daughter flew over from Australia, bringing the ashes. And the rest, other family from Spain and other parts of the country came there, and we had a kind of a wake on the Saturday. And on the Sunday morning, we all walked up this hill, and went up there, and there was a scattering of the ashes of Penny's aunt, Margaret. It was a very special occasion, and it was a surreal occasion. I've never been to an ashes scattering before. I've been to many funerals, but not an ashes scattering. And especially not to one that had no religious content. Everybody is a very secular kind of person in the family. And the ashes were scattered, and it was meaningful. But it just struck me how much that's the end. That's the end. And I don't know exactly when Aunt Margaret was spiritually at the end of her life, but I do know she lived her life without faith. I don't know about her, but I know that is the end. Whereas for us, that's not the end. If we have a relationship with God, if we know this good shepherd, if we know him, then we are safe, not only in this life, but in the next. What a great promise we have. We'll finish with this scripture here in Luke 15. In Luke 15, we'll know the parable, I expect, of the sheep that ran away. And Jesus tells the parable about the 100 sheep, and the shepherd loses one, and he leaves the 99 in the open country and goes off after the one until he finds it. And he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and carries it home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together. Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Now that one little sheep, it was in a safe place. It was with the other sheep, it was with the shepherd, but it ran off. I was having a chat with Alice Dannett on Friday. Many of you know she's studying to be a vet, and she's quite near the end of her course. And I asked her about sheep. I said, Alice, have you worked with sheep? She said, oh, I have worked with sheep. I said, what do you think of sheep? She said, they're really stupid. And I said, well, what else about sheep? She said, well, you try to help them and they run away. You help them with the lambing and then they run away. The mothers run away. You bring the lambs and give them food and safe and keep them safe. And then you reintroduce the mother and the lamb. And then the mother doesn't want to know and they get confused. They think that lamb's their lamb, but it's not their lamb, and you show them their lamb, and they're like, no, and they go off to some other lamb, and they're just stupid. And I, as we carried on, the word that kept coming through every time was stupid. Sorry, Malcolm, I don't know what else to say, they're just really stupid. I mean, they smell, and they're stupid, and they're really stubborn, and they're stupid, and they don't look after the young, and they're basically stupid. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, we had this cute idea of lambs and sheep, and they're all woolly and cuddly, right? They're stinky and smelly and stupid, basically. It takes a lot to love these stupid sheep. This one sheep runs off. This is the kind of thing that happens. And it's just like us. We can sometimes get close to safety. We're in church. We're around Christian people. We know there's a Bible and God's word is in there. We think maybe there's hope for the next life. And we think about sometimes something happens in our lives and makes us think about what's going to happen when I die. And we think about it, but then we move off again. And all the time, God's calling, saying, come here, you'll be safe. I've got pasture. I've got a safe place for you to be. We've got a nice pen, don't worry about it. If a wolf comes along, I'm going to be there to protect you. I've got my staff. I'm going to lay my life down for you. We're like, no, I think I'll come back to that later. I like being on my own in this dangerous place. Why do we pass up the possibility of safety when it's available to us? Let's not be as stupid as the sheep. I love this image of this farmer with a little lamb. Oh, yes. That's all that God wants to do. He doesn't want to ruin your life. He doesn't want to restrict you. He doesn't want to give you a hard time. He doesn't want to make you feel guilty. He wants you to feel safe. That's what God wants. Whether you're 100 years old, or 15 years old, or wherever you are in life, just God wants you to be safe with Him. He knows you'll be safe with Him. So do you want to find out how to be safe? Do you want to know how to feel safe? Do you know what will keep you safe? Would you like to experience the other promises that God gives us? The joy of the Holy Spirit, the peace that passes understanding, the assurance of our salvation, knowing that we know where we will go when we die. Do you want to know these things? And if you want to know these things, and I've got a suggestion for you if you don't already know. If you don't already know, step number one, come back next Sunday. Don't come here, because we're not here. But find out where our next services are and come back next Sunday. Find out. Secondly, read about Jesus. Just read about this shepherd. Open up the Bible. Have a look at the stories about Jesus. Find out more about him. And then thirdly, ask questions of the people here who seem to know Jesus. At least it looks like they do when they're on their best behavior. Ask some of us about how we got to know Jesus and what it is like to be safe in his sheep pen with him as our shepherd. So instead of trying to make an unsafe life a little micro bit safer, which is really not safe at all, why not find yourself in the company of the only true safe person that's ever lived, Jesus Christ, and the one to whom you can entrust yourself, your possessions, your life, everything you have, and your eternal destiny, so that he will in exchange grant you the safety he wishes for you. Let God be your burglar alarm. Let him be your 999 call. Let him be your fallback option or your defibrillator. Let him be your ambulance or your password protection, your safety belt or your crash helmet. Let him be your parachute, your oxygen tank, your flotation device, your airbag, your padlock, your breakdown insurance, your pension, your life insurance. Let him be your eternal life insurance.
Amen.
We're going to take bread and wine in a moment in gratitude for the safety we have in Christ. Let's pray first. Let's pray. Father, we lift our hearts, we open our hearts to you right now and ask you to remind us with gratitude of the safety that we have in you. Father, we've focused on Psalm 100 today to try and help us to understand more about you and the reasons why we give you grateful praise. The reasons why we shout for joy to you. The reason why we worship you with gladness. The reason why we come here and sing joyful songs. Knowing that you are God. That it is you who made us. That we are yours. We are your people. And we're grateful that we are sheep in your pasture. Father, we come here in thanksgiving with praise. Giving thanks to you because you are good. And your love does endure forever. Amen. We trust and believe and know that your faithfulness continues through all generations. So, Father, as we